Welcome to Dome Patrol Premier League.
Hello and welcome to the Premier League podcast brought to you by the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. Week two of the Premier League season is in the books and we're starting to see which teams may end up towards the top of the table and which teams may end up towards the bottom of the table. Less shocking results this weekend, I think, but still some good games and some things to talk about. As always, joining me on the show is Ben. Ben, how are you?
Yeah, good mate. Good to be here again. Doing back to back. It reminds me of Euros, this does.
What, regular podcasting about football?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say this is your second podcast in 12 hours, so you must be really loving life.
Well, yeah. I mean, literally 12 hours ago, I was recording the main Dome Patrol show with the guys over in the States talking about the Saints preseason game. So, it's good job I'm not actually working today.
Yeah, full-time podcaster. But no, well, it's good to be here. Good to be here. Let's crack on with the show, shall we?
Yeah, let's crack on with the show. So last week we debuted our new segment, which we've received some good feedback for, especially from one particular moany old git who listens to our show regularly. He was quite pleased the fact that we only concentrated on certain teams for 90 seconds. So we'll crack
Hi,
into
Ali.
It. Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to name him, but he knows who we're talking about. So let's crack straight into it with this week's 90 minutes in 90 seconds. Ben, have you got your stopwatch ready?
I haven't actually.
Otherwise, we've got no way of tracking 90 seconds.
Yeah, it's a very good point. Let me get it up, and that's a stopwatch.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. If you're going to do that, turn the video off.
Right, let's go. 3, 2, 1, go!
Liverpool 2, Burnley 0.
I think Burnley came out in this game and actually started quite well. It looked threatening. But there's only one thing to really talk about this game, and that's the Burnley's kit and the squad numbers. That's the only thing I want to talk about in that game. It was nice to see a 1-11.
All in the right position as well.
All in the right position as well. Like, that's just... Oh.
First time since...
98 or 96, I think someone said.
Yeah, it was Charlton Athletic, so I think it was probably 99, wasn't it? But yeah, 1-11, all in the right place, no stupid numbers, whereas Liverpool had a 66 and a 67 that started the game.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is just ludicrous. I mean, yeah, that is good, and it's nice to see. Thinking of football, Liverpool too strong at home. They'll turn over teams like Burnley at home all season long. You know, Diego Jota has proven to be a great signing for them, scoring goals regularly. And the second goal, Sadio Mane's finish, great pass from Trent Alexander-Arnold. You know, he plays right back. He's not a right back. He shouldn't be playing right back. He should be the right midfielder. You know, if he was playing for England, I wouldn't want him playing right back for England because defensively I think he's a liability and gets found out when he plays against better players. But Burnley are never going to do that. Trent Alexander, great player, just not a right back in my opinion.
Yeah, Liverpool do what they do and they'll be up there. Next game.
Aston Villa 2, Newcastle 0. Danny Ings. What a finish.
That's up there, goal of the month. Fantastic. And it was just... Villa came kind of needed a bounce back. I think Newcastle really are going to struggle this year. But
they were suffering with injuries this week, though. They had a lot of people missing this week with injuries, which didn't help them.
I feel the pain. But yeah, it's kind of... I still don't know what we're going to get from Villa this year. I can easily see them being the top 17, but I can also see them regressing a little bit potentially with the whole of Grealish. I know they have signed some players, but... No, once again, they've signed an out-and-out goal scorer in Danny Ings, and he's proving his class already. Another good win for the cup last night they had in the Carabao Cup. So.
Yeah, Villa are going to be upper mid-table, would be my prediction. But they've got something to build on this year.
Definitely could be 7-10 potentially.
Definitely got something to build on. Newcastle, it's just...
The one signing, they just stayed up last year.
Conceded six goals already.
Yeah, they're gonna need bit of a miracle, I think, to get out there. We need Callum Wilson to start firing. Well, he is very capable of doing. He is, once again, like that Danny Ings, he is a goal scorer. But he needs to stay healthy as well. That's the main problem with him. But
he does.
Interesting game, but yeah, Villa much stronger. Next game.
Crystal Palace 0, Brentford 0. Not really got a lot to say about this one. I watched the highlights. I say I watched the highlights. There weren't really any. What I would say is Brentford are going to be difficult to beat.
Yeah.
They're not going to be an easy out this year. They're not going to concede a huge amount of goals, I don't think. So good. That's good for them. They've got enough good players, but they're going to rely on their home form. It's going to be the home games that keep Brentford up. But Palace,
hey, if you're Brentford and you say you draw 0-0, you draw your away games, but you win the majority of your home games.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Palace are desperate for a goal scorer. If they don't have somebody to put the ball in the back of the net, they are going to struggle.
Linked with Eddie Nketiah.
He's not going to come help in,
but I don't think he'll score the number of goals he needs.
He's a Premier League striker, if I'm being
honest.
I don't think he's a... But, you know, I mean, Brentford, 4 points from two games. They have got to be absolutely over the moon with that.
Absolutely. I think if you asked a Brentford fan at the start of the season, they would have taken 4 points over two games all day.
I haven't really got anything else to say on that one,
to be honest. I think Palace are just going to try and stay solid at the back and build from the back. I think they're going to build a foundation. They brought Anderson in and the young lad from Chelsea who played for Swansea last year. I think they just want to be solid at the back and then go forward from there. And you might see them take off a little bit towards the end of the season. But mid-table, relegation potentially. Next game.
Leeds 2, Everton 2. Great game.
Really
good game. I've got an issue with the penalty that wasn't given, but then was given on VAR. I don't understand how the referee didn't give that penalty to Everton, having watched it live.
Well, if he didn't see it, he didn't see it. But yeah, I agree, complete penalty. But it's great to see fans back at Elland Road in the Premier League for the first time in a long time. And when you see a goal going, you see the limbs flying everywhere. Just, yeah.
There's no better feeling than a limbs everywhere moment.
No, exactly. And
understand what that is recently, but, you know.
No, not yet. Still waiting for that moment. They're fantastic. I think Rafa Benitez has come in and his plan's actually working. Demarai Gray, I thought, was fantastic. They only bought him for 1.6 million. Like I say, it does seem to be the plan of get the ball wide and get it whipped crosses or build or cut inside with those wingers. And, yeah, Calvert-Lewin, I think, could see a hat. You know, get a hatful of goals this season again.
And again, like Brentford, Leeds are going to be relying on their home form.
To
some extent, because when they go to the big teams, like was proven on the first day of the season, with the way they're set up and play, they could be ripped apart. Tightening up at home and nicking points at home is going to be Leeds. But Leeds, they're going to be mid-table. They're going to be like Villa.
They're going to win games, they're going to draw games, and they're going to lose games. And when some of the games they lose, they will lose 4-0, but they'll win some games 4-0 potentially.
So you just said they're either going to win a game, lose a game, or draw a game. That's the most obvious statement I've ever heard.
No, but you know what I mean? By the way, they're going to be, it's going to be like 4-0. Yes. You know, they could win 4-0, they lose 4-0.
Yeah.
Or they could draw 4-0. That's what I meant to say.
I knew what you meant. I was just picking on it.
Next game.
Man City 5, Norwich City 0. The most predictable result of the weekend, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Norwich is just going to be... Yeah, I can't really... You know, they've
had a bad start.
They've had two really hard games to give to them, and you can't really judge them off these two games because they're two teams in absolute class above them, but... I don't know.
The big thing for Norwich is, you know, they've got a must win relegation battle first game after the international break.
Fuck off.
So I think we'll see where they really are after that game.
Funny enough, yeah, I think you will. I think you will see if Norwich get battered in that game, then you could see it could be a real, real bad season for them.
They got a bit of confidence in the League Cup last night.
Yes, they did.
They won 6-0. But quickly, because we're running out of time, Man City, they're going to beat teams like Norwich at home 5-0, week in, week out. Grealish got off the mark with possibly the easiest goal he's ever scored.
Yeah.
You know, City at home.
They need a striker. City do need a striker,
but I don't know where they're going to get one from now, and we will come on to that at the end of the show.
Yeah. We'll see. So, yeah, we've got 10 seconds left for this game, but I'm just, yeah. Meh, City, 5 Norwich nil. It is what it is.
Yeah, it is.
You're not going to see much, you know.
No.
You weren't going to expect much of an upset there. Right, next game.
Brighton 2, Watford nil.
Good old Seagulls. They've really come out the traps flying this year, haven't they? Really come out the traps flying. I thought Bissouma was just sensational this game, and you can see why he's been linked to the likes of Liverpool and Arsenal in this summer. And I'm surprised he hasn't made the move, to be fair. Maybe only Brighton wants to sell one of their star players this summer. And Graham Potter's is finally getting this team playing he's got them now getting end products the way they were playing the last season and a half under him. I really like what they're doing down there with the three at the back being solid, but then actually having some great attacking play going forward as well. And everyone thinks the three at the back is a negative system, and it's really a defensive system, where Graham Potter actually turns it around, and it is and I think the best coaches do this and turn that three in the back to an offensive system, where you think those wing backs defenders actually know they're extra attackers, and that the system they use is fantastic. And I said I picked them to be a surprise good team this year, and I'm glad that they're not shitting a bed early with me. So long way to go. But
even a broken clock is right twice a day, Ben. That's all I'll say. But no, they've been impressive. They've been impressive, and you know, again, I think they're going to be mid-table safe. You just worry if they're going to score enough goals.
They need
they're desperate goals. But Watford won their first game, so this was a bit of a free hit this weekend. Yeah. Didn't help themselves with one of the goals. They basically gave it to Brighton on a plate. But again, with Watford, they're going to have to concentrate on winning.
And time is up. Sorry to speak Watford there, but I also want to make a point now. I think you might be seeing the next Arsenal manager in that game. But yeah, next game.
Southampton 1, United 1. Man United, that is. Manchester United. Yeah. Disappointing. After the way United played in the first game of the season, they came out flat. Team selection, all right, McTominay was injured and they had to play Matic. Matic and Fred as your two midfielders are static. They can't pass the ball quickly enough. They're not quick enough to cover defensively. It just didn't work. You got Donny van de Beek on the bench. Why?
What a waste of a talent.
I don't understand what's going on there. Unless United sign another midfielder before the end of the transfer window, we won't be challenging for the title this year. We need a dynamic young central midfielder who can break the play up and can distribute the ball quickly to get it to your front. Because with the forwards we've got, when they're on their day, they're almost unstoppable.
There's two players I've got in mind that can fit that role for you. Well, three. One of them you've already got is Van de Beek.
I don't know where he plays, and I don't know why we signed him, if I'm being completely honest. Ruben Neves is being linked from Wolves. Saul from Atletico Madrid is being linked, and also we're interested in Camavinga, but he's only 18. Yes, it's great to sign him, but I don't know. So, yeah, United disappointing. Southampton needed.
Good. Yeah,
Southampton needed a good result, and you know, on the balance of chances, they probably could have won the game. I mean, Armstrong missed a one-on-one with De Gea, with about 10 minutes to go. So Southampton have got to be delighted with that, especially because the last time they played, finished 9-0 to United. So yeah, ultimately disappointing for United. Go again,
and we go to the next game.
Wolves 0, Tottenham 1. Your favourite subject. I'm going to start off with one thing. That kit is fucking horrible.
Disgusting, isn't it?
Spurs' away kit is horrible. Mm. Should not be allowed. Disgusting.
It is revolting. I think Spurs only had one shot in this game, didn't they? One shot on target, and that's the penalty. We don't know how sustainable this is going to be for Spurs. I think Spurs thrive when they're on... They haven't got much pressure on them. No one's expecting Spurs to do anything this year. And that's where I think they are going to excel a little bit, because no one really expects much from them. We're going to talk about it later, but they seem to be keeping a certain striker around. What's going to help them?
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Troy Parrott's on loan. But yeah, we'll see what happens with Spurs. Wolves, I think, are disappointing. Basically, end product is Jimenez going to be the same player he was since his injury? Only I don't know. That injury can mentally affect people.
It can, but then again, like Norwich, they had a good confidence-building result in the cup last night by beating Forest 4-0.
So. Yeah, but anyone could beat Forest 4-0. I think even Arsenal could beat Forest 4-0 at the moment. But no, we'll kind of see what happens with Spurs. They've already had a good result against City, and another
2-1-0 defeats for Wolves. So they're not getting hammered; they're just not scoring enough goals.
Yeah, they needed to click. Right, next game.
Do you really want to talk about this one?
Not really, no. But right. I suppose we're going to have to.
Arsenal 0, Chelsea 2. I'm going to start off with just one comment. The 2 was lucky. That could have been
6.
It could have been 6. Now look, you weren't confident before the game started.
No, not at all.
But you were there, so give us your opinion of the game as quickly as you can.
Yeah, we had 9. You know, I'm not making excuses at all. We had 9 players out. I don't think with those 9 players back, we would compete and win with Chelsea. But you never know. It's football at the end of the day. I think the coach has got to try and set his team up to try and give yourself the best opportunity to get a result. And I don't think playing a 4 at the back and trying to go at Chelsea was the way to do it. I think the best way we've had success with Chelsea in the last couple of years, we've had very good success with Chelsea the last couple of years, is going 3 at the back, matching them, trying to keep it tight at the back and counter-attacking. That's how we've got results in the last couple of years against Chelsea. I just don't get why we didn't do that again today on Sunday. So it's very disappointing. Great to be back in the stadium. Romelu Lukaku is going to bully a lot of defenders, not just Palomari, but Chelsea are going to be, I think, if City don't sign a striker, I think Chelsea could actually run away the league this year.
They're looking really, really good at the moment.
Yeah.
Tough to beat, good going forward, and Lukaku brings a different dimension. And like you said, he bullied Arsenal centre-halves, and there's not many centre-halves that are going to be able to deal with that physicality. Now, we'll come on to the preview. I'm looking forward to the game this weekend. We'll talk about that in the preview of this weekend's fixtures.
Next game.
So the final game of the weekend, and quite possibly, and this is going to sound weird, but my surprise team of the year so far. West Ham 4, Leicester 1. West Ham have scored 4 goals in both games so far.
Yeah, and considering they haven't got a recognised striker, Antonio has really, really taken that role on. And now you have to say he is a recognised striker up there, isn't
he? He looked like Lukaku on Monday night. The way he was playing, bullying people.
I don't know what the result would have been if Leicester had 11 men on the field. But
let's go on to that really quickly. Horrible tackle. And again, I don't know why the referee didn't give a red card immediately. You could see straight away that he'd gone over the ball, stamped on his leg. Right decision made. And I don't know what the Leicester players were trying to suggest to the referee. I don't know at all. But West Ham, they look really good going forward. The creating chances.
Against ten
men did help. But I think it was 1-0 when he was sent off, wasn't it? And yeah. West Ham were all over Leicester to a certain extent. But you know, they're top of the league. You know, they've won 4-2 and 4-1 this season. Fair play to them. I didn't think they'd be able to keep it up. The interesting thing for them is when European football starts.
That's it. They get the points, get a lot of points on the board now. That's what you need.
It is. Leicester, disappointing. Defensively, they looked horrible. Soyuncu, who was good last year, looks like a liability at the moment. Obviously, they're missing Johnny Evans, who kind of holds them together, and Vestergaard.
Vestergaard, yeah.
Needs to play, but disappointing for Leicester.
Wouldn't surprise me if we see Leicester drop out of the top 7 this year. There's a bold prediction there.
Okay, that's interesting. Right. They're not going to be in the top 4, put it that way.
Slightly ran over that one, but that's it for the week. I thought it was the last game. We can slightly run over on that last game.
Yeah, that's fine. Anything else that we didn't cover during the 90 seconds of each match that you just want to throw in at the end? Anything that you wanted to say but we didn't get time to? I've got nothing.
Just for a personal point, it was nice going back up to the ground again, having the whole pre-match experience, and you get delusioned as a football fan sometimes, don't you? Like, we all go in to the ground and we all suddenly have a few drinks and the sun's shining, fans start singing, and then you kind of just go, do you know what? We could potentially nick something here today. Don't get me wrong, you're a Cheltenham fan. You saw Cheltenham versus, I don't know, Villa or something like that, and they're bouncing at home. You'd think they're much better team, but we could potentially nick something here on the day because of the emotions and everything. It's what makes you a fan and what makes you attend the games, isn't it? But no, it's just fantastic going back up again. No problems getting in or out of the stadium. I know there's been a lot of issues with tickets over the weekend with the Premier League. All the clubs seem to move to digital tickets now. But there's no issues at the Emirates. It was just great to be back. And yeah, it was a shitty result, but it was just a fantastic day out.
Good. So, match previews. This weekend is the last Premier League games for a week or 2 weeks because of the international break. Yeah, don't get me started on that. First game is a game you're attending.
Oh, shit, yeah. Yeah, I forgot I was going to that.
Yeah. Man City host Arsenal, the early kickoff on Saturday. Now, if you were fearful at home against Chelsea, are you more or less fearful this weekend?
Terrified. The only thing I could think could go away is that City might get an early goal or two and just shut up shop, and Guardiola won't beat his mate to death and put his nail in his coffin.
City are already behind Chelsea and Liverpool because they lost their first game. I don't think City are going to take it easy. I really don't.
No. They've got no strikers. We have got to park the bus and try and use our pace and the counter-attack to get anything out of this game. You go to a back three, when you're out of possession, you tuck your wing backs in, you know, and you play that way. And then you use your players like Smith Rowe and Saka on the break. Like, it's going to be attack versus defence this game. We're so low on confidence. I kind of already, after the Brentford game, I knew we were going to go into the international break with no points. It's just what I kind of assumed was going to happen, and it is going to happen. And I think we just need to maybe not have an overreaction. But I just want the first thing, I can excuse our players losing on the pitch. I can excuse that. It's sport. There's a winner and a loser, okay? But the coach's job is to set them up in the best possible way not to lose. If a fat guy in the stands can see what's going wrong and why they haven't set up in a certain way, such as like last week with Reece James absolutely murdering our left-hand side, and that doesn't get fixed within the first 10 minutes, how can a manager not see that? If you're now going against one of the best teams in the world, okay, these are the runners-up of the Champions League as well. Let's say we're playing the European champions and the runners-up of back-to-back games. You have got to defend. You've got to take your chances when you can and be solid at the back. Best way you're going to do that is by being compact at the back, having your three at the back with your wing backs tucked inside. But I don't know. If he goes for a back four, you're just going to get off the game already. And I really started questioning the manager if he goes for a back four.
Okay. Prediction.
3-0 City.
3-0 City. I'm going to go 4-0 City. Yeah, I think 4-0 City. I think. Look, we speak about Arteta quite a lot. I don't think he's a very good manager.
He's gone backwards, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think
he's
gone
backwards.
I think he has.
When he first came in, he was like, "Oh, we started to get results at all the big teams. We won at Old Trafford. We beat Chelsea a couple of times. We actually beat City in the FA Cup semi final. We beat Liverpool title winning season. We beat them at the Emirates, and we're like, do you know what? He's been clever here. He knows we're not better than these teams. We don't go toe-to-toe. So he makes us compact, like I'm asking for him to do now. But it just seems to just gone backwards. I don't know what's happened. There's no style or identity there anymore like there was. We don't even try and, you know, when he first came, you can say, right, he was trying to play it out from the back and be tight at the back. Can't even see that anymore. There's no pressing. There's nothing. It's really worrying when I don't see a style on the pitch. But yeah, that's enough. It's my little
We'll see a little rant. We will.
I think he's got till November.
Final thing on it from me, that will be too late.
Yes, it will be too late, but he's got till November.
It'll be too late. So next is, and my bloody fixtures have just disappeared off my phone, which is really helpful. Newcastle versus Southampton. I think Southampton are going to go out there and get something. If they play like they did on, if they play like they did on Saturday against United, then that will be too much for Newcastle.
I can see if Southampton go ahead early in that game, I can see it getting quite hostile at St James's there. Really can.
Yeah, they'll start turning. They will.
I'm going to go for a score draw.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Southampton win. I'm going to go for an away win there. That they impressed me against United on Sunday. And if they can put in that type of performance, I think that'll be too much. Ward-Prowse controls the midfield. They've got a couple of decent strikers, and defensively they look good against United as well. So I think Southampton are going to get an away win there. Brighton versus Everton.
It's going to be a good game.
I think this will be a really good game. Yeah, no, I think it will too.
This will be a good game. This is a big test for Brighton. If they can come away with a point here, that's what I'm asking them to do. Come away with a point.
I think it will be a draw, but I think if you're a Brighton fan, you will be disappointed drawing at home to Everton, especially with the start you've had.
I get that, but don't be greedy.
I completely agree. But with the start they've had, two wins, you'd be disappointed not beating Everton at home.
Yeah,
that's what I think. However, I think it will be a score draw.
Yeah, I like to think the way Everton are going to play, where we're going to be getting the ball out wide and whipping the ball in. I think with Webster, Dunk, and Duffy in their three surrounding Calvert-Lewin, I think Everton needs some midfield runners to come in and support him, because I think those three are three very physical centre-halves that could deal with Calvert-Lewin. But it all depends on Calvert-Lewin's movement. I know his movement is fantastic. So it's going to be it'll be a very interesting game to watch.
Yeah, no, it will. It's a 3 o'clock Saturday kick. Obviously, it'll be a match of the day job. But yeah, no, that's going to be a really good game. West Ham versus Crystal Palace.
I think West Ham will win. Yeah, I think West Ham 2-3-0.
Yeah, West Ham are going to win 2-0, I think. Again, they'll be too strong. Palace, not good enough. Not good enough going forward. Aren't going to really trouble West Ham. West Ham might have a bit of difficulty breaking them down, because I think Vieira will set them up defensively to not concede. But West Ham will break through eventually, and I think West Ham will win that game 2-0. Fairly comfortably.
Yeah.
Norwich versus Leicester.
Norwich played midweek, like we said, they've won. I'm pretty sure. Norwich versus Leicester.
Norwich need a point minimum from this game.
It's at
Carrow Road.
I wouldn't be surprised if this is a draw. But I think Leicester will win. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's a draw.
Yeah,
horrible start. Horrible start for Norwich this season.
Yeah, three of the top five, and then fourth game, the team that finished eighth.
Yeah.
I think Norwich need a draw from that game, and I'm going to go for a sneaky little draw in that game. I think Norwich are going to right themselves.
Home crowd. Yeah.
They'll gain confidence from beating Bournemouth. I know it was only Bournemouth, and it was the League Cup, but it was 6-0, and they were 4-0 up at half time. So it was a fairly confidence building result.
Yeah.
Aston Villa versus Brentford. Now, the interesting point in this one is
Dean Smith
left Brentford to go to Villa. So this will be the first time.
They
played in the Championship, didn't they? So ignore me on that one.
Yeah.
I think this will be a Villa win, especially at Villa Park.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm not sure Brentford are going to be able to create enough chances in away games to beat teams like Villa. You know, they'll they might go to Burnley and win. They might go to Watford and win.
Palace.
Yeah. But you know, they're not. Villa are going to be tough to beat at home this year, and I think Villa will win that. Maybe 1-0, 2-0, something like that.
Yeah, essentially.
Saturday night football. Liverpool versus Chelsea. So this is what I was saying before. It's going to be very, very interesting to see Lukaku versus
Van Dijk.
Draw is likely, but it wouldn't surprise me if Chelsea go there and win.
Chelsea are flying. I think Chelsea will go and win. I actually really do. I think Chelsea will go there and win.
Yeah, Chelsea have looked really good. They're going to create chances. But it's Liverpool at home. You can never write them off at Anfield. I think a draw, but it wouldn't surprise me if Chelsea... I think Liverpool winning that game is the least likely result, personally.
Yeah, as we said at Anfield. We just said about them playing at Anfield as well, but I just think this team's so good.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is their first big challenge.
Yeah.
So, looking forward to that one. So, on to Sunday now. Burnley versus Leeds.
Oof, really? Do you have to watch this? Leeds.
Yeah, I think Leeds as well. They'll be too powerful. They're high pressing game. I don't know. Burnley could bully them. I'm still going Leeds, but I think it'll be a close game.
I imagine so.
Spurs against Watford. I know you won't say it because you can't
Spurs,
say it.
Spurs are going to win 2-3-0.
Spurs are going to win that game. You know who we're going to talk about in a minute. We'll start. He'll start this week. All their fans will love him and clap him like he's some kind of returning hero. We'll come on to that in a second.
He's one fuck all.
Yeah, well, look, we'll come on to that in a second. We're previewing the game here. But, you know, Spurs, Son's a really good player. You know, he's...
Diving, cheating little git.
Stop it.
Sorry. I can't help it.
I think Spurs will win this handily, and I think 3-0 is likely to be where that one ends.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think 3-0 Watford. Yeah.
3-0 Watford. Every week. So you'll pick the Falcons to win a game on a UK Saints podcast, but you won't pick Spurs to win a game in a Premier League podcast.
No.
Final game of the week, I think. Yeah, there's no Monday night football this week. It's Bank Holiday Monday this weekend. Is Wolves against Manchester United. United need to win. It's as simple as that. They cannot go any further behind. They're already 2 points behind the top teams. They can't go any further behind. United have to win. We've got sketchy form at Molineux. We've gone there and beaten them easily, but then we've also gone there and really struggled. And we tend to draw there quite a bit. Again, Wolves, you worry that they're going to be able to score enough goals. If I was going to predict a score now, I would say 3-1 or 2-0 United, as long as he doesn't pick Matic and Fred in midfield.
This is it. Even United are going to come back and go, fuck what happened against Southampton. That's not us. People already questioning our title credentials after that one game, and go out and absolute blitz Wolves. Or it's going to be in their head, and Wolves will be tight and it'll be nervy, and I can easily see a 2-0, 3-1 Man United, but I can also see a 1-1, a gritty, horrible 1-1.
Yeah. No, and that's exactly what happened against Southampton this weekend. United came out like a house on fire, didn't score early, and then conceded a goal from a massive deflection, and then we're chasing the game.
Yeah.
But United can set a new record.
They can.
next week, this weekend, by not losing, will be the 28th game in a row where they have not lost away from home, which is taking your record from the Invincibles team, isn't it? I think, was it the Invincibles team that had that 27 game unbeaten away?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
The irony of that being that was broken where?
At Old Trafford by Wayne Rooney diving.
No, we won 2-0. There was two goals in that game. Sorry.
Yeah, that changed the game. That did.
Yeah, maybe. Long time ago. Get over it.
Never forgive. Never ever forgiven that fucking horrible bastard for that.
Yeah.
Even an England shirt, never forgive him.
Well, boo-hoo. I feel for you. I really do.
So hey, that record's only good if you end up then winning the Premier League. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah, unless we sign a midfielder, we're not winning the Premier League this year. So we need to sign a midfielder.
Okay.
So United, if you're listening, get on it. Preview over. Any other business? We've mentioned him a few times. Literally.
Your audio.
So, any other business? We've mentioned him a few times throughout today, and literally just before we started recording lunchtime on Wednesday, Harry Kane released a statement. Well, he put a tweet out, didn't he? Basically saying that
he is
not going to be leaving Spurs this year. Now, he was adamant 3 weeks ago, apparently, that he was going to leave. So, have Man City said they're not going to pay what Tottenham want? Or has Nuno and Daniel Levy convinced him that Spurs is the place to be? I suspect it's the former, and City don't want to stump up 130 million for him.
Yeah, I don't think they want to pay that much money for me. No, I think City don't want to pay that money. They've already got their number one target in Grealish. This is very brave of Pep, see if he can go. Like, honestly, after watching Lukaku and seeing what Chelsea have now added to their team, why on earth will they not try? Will they still try and get a striker? There is one name doing the rounds at the moment. City.
Yeah, don't even mention it because it will make me angry.
I don't know if it will happen. I probably say not. I've got an 80% chance it won't happen, but 20% of me says it could. And that could be the reason why they've ended their interest.
He mysteriously didn't train today because of an arm injury, apparently, at Juventus.
But if Cristiano Ronaldo ends up at Man City, James, how do you feel?
I've already told you how I feel.
Yes.
I'm not going to say the word on the podcast because it's not a very nice word.
I suppose all Man United fans feel that way if he does it, doesn't it?
So what's going to happen is, and we're going to talk, we might as well move on to the next transfer that we're going to talk about, is Kylian Mbappe is going to go to Real Madrid.
That's going to happen.
And Cristiano Ronaldo will go to Paris Saint-Germain.
You reckon?
Yep.
I don't know if Ronaldo and Messi will play together.
Why not?
Well, then Icardi or someone like that going off to Juventus.
Paris Saint-Germain are desperate to win the Champions League. And it's going to be funny as fuck when it comes to May. And even with that super squad, they still don't win it.
It will be quite funny.
That's my prediction. Mbappe will go to Real Madrid. How they're affording it, don't even get me started. They're 900 million in debt and they're going to bid 130 million for a football. Anyway.
Mbappe this is what I'm going to talk to you also about. Mbappe, so he's a free agent next year. He's got 12 months left on his contract. So Madrid can start negotiating for him for free in
4 months.
In 4 months. Why on earth would you go and pay that money if you're in so much debt now? And you know he is desperate to come
because
to you.
Because you have a captive audience if you buy him. If you let him go for free, he can talk to anybody.
But you know his dream is to come and play for Real Madrid. He said that. His dream is to play for Real Madrid. You've pretty much got him in the bag.
Right. So what you've got there then is it would come down to money. Because if he's available and Real Madrid offered him, went right, okay, so it's your dream to play for Real Madrid, so we're going to offer you 200 grand a week. It won't be that low, but let's just say it. Then Man City come along and say, we're going to pay 500 grand a week. Forget his dream. If they're going to pay him 300 grand a week more, he's going to go where the money is.
Yeah, I still think he will end. I reckon he will end up going to Madrid, and I reckon it could be this window.
I think it'll happen, and I think Ronaldo will go to Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah, potentially. Another player I just want to mention transfer-wise, and because this seems to be the new way of doing it at the moment, is the Bosman is becoming a bit more popular, and it's kind of going towards American sports star, where you're seeing a lot more.
It's because Real Madrid and Barcelona are skint.
Mm. But a certain manager predicted this 4 or 5 years ago, said in the future you're going to see a lot more players running down their contracts and trying to go on frees.
It's what Pogba's doing.
And exactly what's going to come to you.
It's what Paul Pogba's doing
this year. How frustrating is it as a Man United fan seeing Pogba now with a year left on his contract turning up like this?
So there's the story's doing but the
rounds. If you get a Premier League out of it, you don't care.
Correct. But there are stories doing the round that they're talking and that he is leaning towards staying because he can see what
you're doing.
What is being built there. You know, obviously we've signed Varane and Sancho this summer. There might be another player coming in. We're going all in on Erling Haaland next summer, who has the same agent as Pogba.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he might be a virus and scum of football, but he's got the same agent as Paul Pogba. Don't rule that out. You know, we signed Ibrahimovic, Mkhitaryan and Pogba all in the one
summer. You've got good relays, yeah.
Who were all Mino Raiola clients. So, you know, it is frustrating because everybody could see it coming. I wouldn't rule out Pogba signing a new contract and staying. However, it also wouldn't surprise me if he is in January, it's announced that he's signing for Real Madrid or Paris Saint-Germain on a gazillion pounds a week.
Yeah, it's one of those two teams.
Yeah, I reckon if you give him, can afford him, really.
Yeah, I reckon if you give him the chance to give it. Well, it depends where Mbappe is. If Mbappe is at Real Madrid, well, I think he will be. I think you'll see Pogba go to Real Madrid.
Well, apparently, playing for Real Madrid has always been Pogba's dream too.
We'll see. So we'll see. I can see him playing for Real Madrid. Maybe sign a 4-year contract. And then how old is he now?
28.
30. So he'll be 32 by the time that contract ends with Real Madrid and then goes and plays to Paris for a couple of years after that.
Yeah, maybe. But at the moment, I couldn't tell you which way it's going to go. I think it's 50-50 whether he stays or goes.
Cool. That's everything I've got really today.
Okay, so nothing else before we finish?
No. I think we're good. Is anything?
It's just frustrating that we've got 3 weeks into the season and now we're going on an international break.
Yeah, I hate international football like during the season. I love summer tournaments, but international football during the season just infuriates me.
Yeah, it's really, really, really frustrating.
I know there's a buzz around England football and stuff at the moment and everything, but no.
With the way COVID is at the moment in other countries, you know, Premier League have already announced that they're not going to release players who are going to red list countries. You're just causing conflict.
Yeah, exactly.
You're just causing conflict. So we'll see what happens. So we will do a review show after the weekend. So we will look forward to speaking to you next week. That's all the show we have for you right now. So we want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United podcast network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple free podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, which we will be debuting for this season very, very soon after the Saints' first game of the season. It's always my favourite show, the Instant Reaction, Ben. Always.
Yeah, it's just the host, I think, that makes it.
The main Dome Patrol podcast, which we recorded last night, and there will be a show coming out at some point this week. The BS and Beer podcast, which also released yesterday. The Pelican Plunge. This show, the Premier League podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and the Tiger's Den with Scott. You can follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, at Tiger_podcast, and at Dome Patrol Prem. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitch for live streams at twitch.tv/ /even Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen the old-fashioned way, go to domepatrolpodcast.com. Say bye-bye, Ben.
Bye-bye, I'm staying at Tottenham. I'm fine that Nike shoes to keep myself tethered to the days I tried to lose. My mama said to slow down, you must make your own shoes. Stop dancing to the music, I've got riddles in a happy mood. Keeping my groove on.